Oh, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. Finish offering, stretch across the sky, these hallelujah be multiplied. You want to worship tonight? Let's just raise our hands. The mercy, sing it to him. Sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. It is offering, stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. One more time. I hope you're here to worship tonight. I think we've come with expectations, and I don't believe anybody's going to be disappointed tonight. I believe we're going to have church. We're going to start. We've got several prayer requests. We've got several songs that we're going to get to tonight, so we'll move right through these. But before we take the prayer request, we just want to give out a big thank you. Brother Michael Bailey wanted to thank everyone that did all the hard work at the Fall Festival, and it was probably the biggest crowd that we ever had, and everything was smooth for everybody, and everybody I talked to had a great time. I thought it was great. So thanks to all the workers, and big thanks to Michael Bailey. We appreciate Michael, all the hard work that he does. You got to have a chief, so we appreciate the chief. And Brother Michael also wanted to give a big thanks to Brother James Goad. I think there was a whole lot of equipment and stuff that was used there last night that he provided. So thanks so much, Brother Goad, for that. Thank you, Brother James. Brother Terry, if you'll come pray over these prayer requests. Brother Homer Brown from St. Augustine, Florida, very sick in the hospital. Just remember that. Someone turns in a couple of needs. Humbly request you to help me carry these needs before the Lord in prayer. This is from a Brother Tony. And I think that's actually an unspoken prayer request for Tammy Barnett. So let's remember that. We'll all stand. Let's join Brother Terry as he takes these needs to the Lord. Thank you, Brother.
It certainly would be appropriate if I went ahead and said it, wouldn't it? Yes. We get to come to church tonight. Thank you. You realize one day, that'll be a fond memory. But as of yet, we still get to go to church. How thankful. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful this little clip that we saw there. That's probably the best summation of what Christianity means. That's rapture material. That's rapture material. When your passion is Christ, that's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, we count it such a great privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. The three highlights of our week, Lord, are coming to the house of God. Dear Jesus, we're thankful that we can meet with you. You promised where two or three are gathered that you come down to meet us. Father, it's just our desire to learn more about you, to come to worship you, to see the manifestation of the Word, to see where you have placed your name, your character, and all that you're doing in these last days. Father, it's so exciting to be living in these closing hours of time. We see the degeneration of the world, the degeneration of the nation, how it's gone. It's getting more and more worldly. We see Satan is certainly on his throne in Satan's Eden. But God, you're still on the throne. You're still molding and making a bride, bringing her to perfection, honing her down, getting the greenness out, baking all the world out of us, getting her just honing right down for that last for Translation Faith. How thankful we are. We're so happy to be back in your presence. I pray that you would just forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. And as we look to you, Lord, tonight in behalf of these requests, Lord, I ask that you would just, they've been read, just two or three of them, but you know, if you ask just one thing, could we appropriate that faith? And we know faith has been restored by the seventh angel messenger. There's faith in the building, and we can believe. It's already been appropriated. You've done the healing. You received those stripes for people's healing. Now you just said one thing. Can you believe? All things are possible. So grant these things, dear Lord, that they might be well. I'm sure there's everybody here that's probably got some loved ones outside the ark of safety. I pray that you'd brood over those children, father, mother, different ones that's perhaps not sealed in, a burden on people's hearts. Deal with them, Lord, because we're just at the closing hours of time. Pray that you would anoint our pastor to speak, dear God. Give him spiritual food in due season. May we just have a good time of fellowship around the Word. And Lord God, when we leave this building, we can certainly say it's been good to be in the house of God. Like those coming from us, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? Let it not be just a protracted meeting, Lord, just a fellowship with the saints and the ones that's gathered from different parts of the country for the fall festival and now for the church services. We appreciate all our brothers and sisters that travel these distances. Lord, would you bless them for their efforts? And now may you just feed them. They come to get their payday also, spiritual payday. Grant it, dear Lord, and heal each one, and we'll give you praise. And we're thankful, Lord, that you promised to come down and meet with us. It's going to be a good time of fellowship tonight around the Word. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated.
Well, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning and you were all around you? And how many nights must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know how much I love you? Did wake you up this morning and you were clothed in your right mind, and didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you got weary on life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you? Help me sing it. This morning, and you were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? Each step was right in time. When you were weary from life's journey, did my angels carry you so you would know how much I love you?
If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight, we got three special songs that we're going to sing tonight. And if Sister Lindsay Gilry can come, if you just want to have a seat over here, Sister Lindsay. And then also Zaddy from Brother Tim Humes' church, Sister Zaddy, if you want to come and have a seat right over here. And then we got some boys that are going to sing first, and we'll get them up here in just a second. Let's sing, Didn't I Walk on the Water, G. Well, as I kneeled in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. Your problem's no big deal. It hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills, they're coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. Says, I moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water. I calmed the raging. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? Till I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember?
He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, to be thinking that I won't see it through. But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed your raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Sing that verse again.
And he said, do you remember my child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. Every time you've asked me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
But he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. And I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all the pain?
searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Amen. Come on, boys.
Amen.
Joy in my soul, God is in control. Got Satan on my trails, got Satan all his will. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means war. This means war. This means war. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. Got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means war. You can have my family. You can have my increase. You can have my breakthrough. You can have my blood. I've been through storms and the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my war clothes are on. I might be in a daze, but you can have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war. This means war. This means war. This means war.
Good job. We sure appreciate our brave little boys tonight. Sister Zaddy, if you'd want to come and sing for us. We had a lot of local folks that their song requests for you to sing, but we'll let our bidders sing. I'm sure there was a lot of requests for me that Brother Jim just didn't give me. So we'll just let our visitors sing tonight, and then the local folks that we had a lot of requests for you guys to sing, but we'll do that as soon as we can. We appreciate you singing for us.
God bless you, saints. We had a great time yesterday at the Fall Festival, a great fellowship. My young boys over there, I appreciate that. I really enjoyed that song. I remember being that age singing for the glory of God, and just to see them so young, just singing from their heart, and that such a song with so much power, you know, just worshiping God. And I just want to say that, you know, I thank God for the voice that he's given me. A lot of people think, oh, you can sing. But sometimes I think, I'm like, but it's not me, though. This is not my own doing. God gave it to me. And therefore, I just love to, you know, give it back to him. And so this song I'm going to sing, I know we probably had our trials this week. We probably had things that we've gone through. But through it all, we just need to give God the glory. He said, do the good and the bad, give him glory. And I know I've had a trial this week that I really didn't know how to get through it. But all I can do is say, thank you, God. And the world has no idea about that. They don't know how to say thank you, God, when they're going through and not knowing that they can trust him to bring them through. And so I just want to sing this song to his glory. It was the only song that just came to my head immediately when I was driving in the car earlier. So I'm going to sing it.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shad. Because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, our Prince of Peace.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing. You wonder how I made it through this storm. I can't boast of any special powers. There's no secret, I just held on. And I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero, and I don't have all the answers, but I held on till the storm was over. Not because I'm good, not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, but I held on. I can tell that things are finally happening, and I've got blessings I can call my own. Many times I wondered if I would make it, but while I was wondering, I just kept holding on. And I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero, and I don't have all the answers, but I held on till the storm was over.
We sure appreciate those songs tonight. Those were great. And Brother Randy Gisson down here wanted to let everybody know that's his daughter. So I made that announcement for you. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. And I'm sure we're in for a treat here tonight. Let's just pull on the gift. And I'm sure something special is waiting for us. Let's sing "I'm Amazed" as Brother Donnie gets ready to come.
Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. Are washed, they're all washed away. Are washed away.
If you're not just saying that, you are a very blessed individual. If your sins are totally annihilated, not only the old past sins, but the cause that made you a sinner. good to be together in the house of the Lord tonight. And certainly appreciate all of our visitors that stayed over to be with us in service tonight. Trust that you'll be blessed for your effort. We want to look into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. I've been speaking here to the local church on different galleries that we are held into the king's presence, and the king's actually held in our presence. And I was looking at the gallery of worship. We'd like to look at that again tonight if the Lord will help us. And we'll certainly just pull it together and we'll see what the Lord will say to us from His Word. Amen. We're living in a great hour, aren't we?
Amen.
It's a terrible time for those who are in darkness, those who are lost, those that are backsliding. It's a wonderful time for the bride.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. There shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest from the first day at even remain all night unto the morning. Now listen carefully to verse 5 and 6 again. That thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, plural, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Any of thy gates, plural, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But at the place, singular, which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. Now there's going to be many gates, but only one gate is God's provided way. But all those rest of those gates have a reason for being given. They have a reason. Notice again verse 6. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Let me read to you also in God's only provided place of worship in Shreveport. Brother Bram says it this way. The thing I want to speak to you about this morning is that God has only one place that the worshiper, only one place that the worshiper can meet God. Only one place. Through the ages, many have sought for this secret place of God. Through all the ages. Even Job wanted to know where he lived at. If I could only go to his house and knock at his door. Job wanted to find God's dwelling place. Now listen to this next few lines because they're astounding. Because there God and his family is worshipped together. There God and his family is worshipped together. Together? Together? God and his family are worshipped together. Well, I can figure out who's worshiping him. But who is it that's adoring us? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth, I believe, don't you? Absolutely. Now, the reason you'd struggle with that is because you don't fully understand worship. Right, you think it's all the time this, but it's not always that. There's more means of worship than just that. I mean, he has a need on your heart tonight before we go to the Lord in prayer. I talked today with a young man down in Beaumont, Texas, and his father was in a very, very serious condition about 9:30 this morning. I called him back just a bit ago before we came out, and his father had passed away today, and certainly surprise to the family and really tore them up, so they wanted us to remember them in prayer tonight, that the Lord would just be with them and help them God bless you. Let's just hold our requests before the Lord, if you would. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with thanksgiving and gratefulness in our hearts. Lord Jesus, we are a needy people for sure, but yet we know that our needs are so small compared to the greatness of our God. We want to thank you for all the visitors that are in our gates tonight, and we just ask you, Lord, that you'd come among us once again, speak to us by your word. We ask, Father, that you would give us hearts that would be open to the Spirit of God, that we might be able to be benefited by gathering together. May it not be just a protracted gathering to whether we've come and we'll all leave here within an hour or so and we'll go back our different ways and nothing will be changed about our lives. But may there be something that'll be said, something that you will do in our presence that will change us, Lord, and make us better people. Father, I also have in my hand this prayer call requested by an individual that doesn't come here, Lord, yet they believe in the power of prayer. We're asking you that you would move this individual. No disease, no cancer, no TB, no other thing is greater than the power of God. And you've given to your people the greatest weapon man has ever known, and that is prayer. So we're asking you for your divine intervention into the life of this individual. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate each of you that are here, of different ministers with us tonight, Brother Robert Marrero, Brother Nathan Bryant, different ones, maybe other ministers that I don't know, different groups that are here from different places, different states. We thank you for being a part of our fellowship last night. Thank you for those of you that was able to stay over tonight and be with us. I told some of the brothers a while ago, it proves that everybody didn't come last night for fishes and loaves, did they? Some folks come for the real thing, fellowship and the word. We have a few stragglers that come in for the biscuits and the bread and the tacos and the drinks, you know, but you think of what it'll be whenever we as the saints of God are gathered together at that great day, and there'll be no more going anywhere. There'll be no place to go. There'll be no tiredness or weariness. Won't that be a wonderful time? Let me draw your attention back to verse 6, if you will. But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name, in there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover at even. We know that if God is so particular in how that he wants worship and how that he must receive worship, truly, if there's something in all of us, and there is, and something in every individual that lives upon this earth, no matter what culture they've been, I've been to different parts of the world myself, seeing different cultures and how they worship their different gods, and knowing that there's something in every individual that craves for something to worship, something to adore. And yet, many of those declare by a leader, well, God is this and this, and you can do that and that and that, and that's the way God accepts it. But we know that there must be one way that is the right way, and that's the only way that God would accept. But if there is one way, then that also means that Satan, being the master of impersonation, that he will make other ways, which will be confusing. Some of them will be very extreme that the elect would never even pay any attention to them. But some of them will be so close that it would be so close itself that Jesus said it could cause the very elect to stumble if they was not elect. Now, God give us a shadow, a type, as it was in the Old Testament, that there was going to be one particular place, one particular city, by which they would know his name would be placed in all of these cities of Israel. Now, God is particular. We believe that, don't we? We believe that about him. That's his nature. I want you to notice how that he said, thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Now, it's not even their particular time that they choose. It's not even their time of the day that they choose. They've got to do it at the time that God says. They've got to do it at the place that God says. They've got to do it at the season that God says. God even's going to tell them what kind of animal to use, who's going to do it, how it must be followed through. So it lets us know that our God will not just receive anything that we want to bring to him, but it must be at his own choice and his own discretion. Now, if we truly want to be worshipers that will give accepted worship, we must come God's provided way, or as according to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Listen again at God's chosen place of worship in Jeffersonville. The prophet said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is God's name of redemption. But he's got one name of redemption, and that belongs to the human race, and that is the name of Jesus. And the saint said, that's his name. Now this is God's name of redemption. He chose to put it there. Where did he put it? He put it in Christ. Now listen how careful the prophet says this, because you can't even worship until first you come into the place of worship. Now you can't even worship until you come into the place of worship. Now we realize in the New Testament that it's not one certain location as it was in the Old Testament, but God is still picky in the way that he receives worship. It must come from those that are in that particular place. Because you can't even worship until first you come into the place of worship. Amen. That's the only place God meets the worshiper, is the place he chose to put his name. All others, you trust in them, you'll die. All others, you trust in them, you'll die. So there's one place that God chose to put his name. So if there is one place, then Satan will come and try to make another place by which people will be deceived in going to these other places of worship, but they will feel like they're okay. And of course, Satan does it this way because Satan himself loves worship. And the majority of the earth today, the people on the earth, are worshiping the devil, but they're doing it ignorantly. That's right. They think, many of them think they're worshiping God, but they're doing it in error. Now let's turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Now this is in the time whenever Jeroboam is given a position and Rehoboam is over another part of the kingdom of Israel. Now the kingdom of Israel is divided into two domains, one of Israel and one of Judah. And Jeroboam is actually not a king by bloodline, but he was a man that was chosen by God because one of the bloodline kings had got so far off the word. Jeroboam should have known that God's view of idolatry and how that God would only bless a man that stays true to his word. But as many of the kings did in the Old Testament, when he got to a place to where he was exalted and he really didn't think he needed the presence of God as much as he did before he got there. It's sad to say many folks around the message do the same thing. Now notice that Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and he dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Now God had allotted one tribe that he would give to the house of David for David's sake, he said, and it was here that Rehoboam was the king. Now Jeroboam, he is scared because now he realizes all of Israel only has one place by which they come and worship, and that is in Jerusalem. Every year, every male of the tribes of the children of Israel had to come to Jerusalem, and they had to come three times a year. Now, if you lived in Bethpeggy, which is only 5 miles down the road, if you lived in Bethaven, which is only 7 miles down the road, or if you lived somewhere near Jerusalem, that was not a great sacrifice at all. But if you lived in Beersheba, or if you lived in the northern part and you live way over in Dan, or if you live way, way miles and miles and hours away, God only received worship in one place. That was where he chose to put his name. So God chose one city out of all the cities of Israel. Did not God love all of Israel? He did. Did not God love all the people of Israel? He did. But he chose one place to put his name. And that was the only place he would receive your worship. So all the males had to come three times a year. Whether you were poor, middle class, rich, it made no difference. It made no difference how far it was. It made no difference the inconvenience that it was. You see, our God loves to inconvenience people to see if they're really worshiping. Now we're living in an age of convenience. It's instant coffee. It's instant potatoes. It's instant this and instant that. You know, we've even got a local church here, one of the denominations that has a drive-in church. So if you don't want to go in church and sit down, it's a drive-in church and you can pull up in your car, dress as you are, drink, smoke, I guess, whatever you want to do. Drive-in church. I saw a place in New York not long ago where people were so busy they have drive-by funeral parties. So they put you in a casket and tilt you up on one side and your friends can come through like to drive through making a bank deposit. You know what? When we get in that shape, we're way too busy. I said we're way too busy.
And people want a religion of convenience. Now, Jeroboam actually has a selfish motive for what he's going to do this for. Notice how he approaches this. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord." Notice this is a small letter Lord, which is Rehoboam. "Even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel. Now listen, he took counsel, but that counsel was not godly counsel. Had it been godly counsel, they would have told the king, "Look, buddy, nobody can build a house of God except where God says it goes. You cannot choose where God puts his name. God does that himself." But this man took counsel, and apparently it was from yes men, because they told the king exactly what he wanted to hear. That's the kind of preachers a lot of folks want in this day. They want yes preachers. Yes, you can do this, and yes, you can do that. And God understands why you can't live right. He sure does. He understands you're not born again. That's the reason you can't live right. Because if you get born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost, it gives you power over every devil out of hell. And you will not be a survivor in this age. You will be an overcomer. As a matter of fact, you will be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. Notice, whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. Now, don't we have an occurrence in the scripture where somebody else done a very similar thing? Of course, Aaron did. So here now he makes 2 calves of gold and said to them, "It is too much for you. It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Oh, it's too hard. There's no way God really, really would demand that of you. I mean, God wants you women to wear long dresses and not cut your hair and paint your face and all that. I mean, some old barns need a new coat of paint. I agree, but that sure ain't much to compare yourself to a barn. I agree. Paint your barn. Paint your house, but leave it off your face. Right. Well, God understands. God don't mind that. You see, friends, we got people under the same influence today. So he said, "It's too hard for you to go to Jerusalem. Look how difficult it is. Some of you have to take your living, and you ain't got automobiles. They didn't have trains or planes or cars or buses, so they would have to walk or ride a donkey, and you've got to go all of that distance up there 3 times a year for you men. How harsh is this? How difficult is God trying to make it on you? I'm simply trying to make it easier for you folks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build." Now look, does not God dwell between the 2 cherubims? What if God could dwell between the cherubims? Could not God dwell between 2 more images of gold? Except we'll not make them out of cherubims or look like a cherubim to impersonate that. We will make them out of golden calves. And we'll set one like this and one like this, and the Shekinah can come and hang right there, and it'll be right next door. It'll be your mama's religion. It'll be your daddy's religion. It'll be right next door to you. It won't be that difficult at all. And you know what? It began to appeal to the humanity of those people because they wanted an easier way. Hallelujah. Now watch, he took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." Why did they have to go to Jerusalem? God chose Jerusalem as the place to put his name. His name was only in Jerusalem. So this king, he said, "My, it's just too much for you to do it. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Word for word what Aaron had said hundreds of years prior to this. Now, won't you notice now the king has started a move or a reformation. But it is a reformation to apostasy. Everything that he's going to do now from this point on, he's going to work in the means of substitution. So he's going to substitute for where God chose to put his name, and he's going to put 2 local cities that will be closer to where the people live. He will substitute for the cherubims that are overshadowing the Solomon built, and he will substitute 2 golden calves in Dan and also in Beersheba. He's going to come to where they will be able to come be a local deity, and they can come. It'll be so much closer. Well, you can go more regular to church now because it's right there, closer than what it was. But you know what? The real saints of God God refused to bow to this image of idols. They refused, but there was many, many people that was right down their alley because they was looking for a religion of convenience. So the king, all these reforms, now he starts it and he heads it in the angle of apostasy. And it become an evil influence in Israel, which lasted for years and years and years. So the first change that he goes to make is the religious symbol. So in heaven, instead of having the cherubim, he will have these calves there. It will give them a place where they can come closer to home. So Jeroboam offers them a substitute. So instead of having holiness will require a God who understands. You know, this is what the world is full of today. The modification of deity. To make a Jesus who doesn't write in the Bible that homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. So they modify and make them a Jesus who let men marry men and women marry women. And Jesus loves them all. That is not my Jesus of the Bible. My Jesus does not tolerate adultery. He does not tolerate lies. He does not tolerate sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Well, I'm already in trouble, aren't I? Now he says, behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now don't take in your mind that he wants to actually replace Yahweh or Jehovah, but what he wants to do is give them a visible image to the invisible God. God had declared to them in the book of Leviticus, also the book of Deuteronomy, they should not make any image like unto God because he was an invisible being. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. So he's going to give a visibility. Now most people can absolutely accept a visible image of deity easier than they can worship an invisible God. Because you're praying to an invisible God. And you're wanting to feel an invisible God. And there's something about us. We love tangibility. We love molecules and atom and time and science. That's the way we are. So we can relate to something that we can touch and something we can kind of rub on and kind of look at. And this man knows this. So what's he doing? He's following under the influence of demons and leading them to an alternate path. Now who are these? These are what we'd call today message people. Because they had a temple in Jerusalem, they were following supposedly the prophet's teaching, but this man has raised up among them trying to lead them away from the original message of God. And he has words which are tickling their ears. And people say, oh yeah, that would be so much easier. Oh my, I wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. It's going to cost me all this and I could give more in the offering. I could do more for God with that money. I mean, but wait a minute. If you're going to worship, don't you want your worship to be accepted? I mean, if we're going to worship and y'all got to the trouble to come to church tonight and we go to the trouble 3 times a week or whatever it is to come to the house of God, if I'm going to do it, I want to make sure that my worship is acceptable in the eyes of God. If not, let's just stay home. Let's just go to Dairy Queen and we'll all just OD on chocolate or something like that. And I mean, if we're not going to be serious and God's not going to accept our worship, why should we even offer our worship to God? The desire of most people then is like the desire of most people today. A religion of convenience. Someone sent me a little cartoon here just a few weeks ago and it was a pastor standing up in the pulpit up before the church and all the pews were empty. He said, I wanted to thank everybody. I'm just so grateful that all of our streaming has been so successful. Nobody coming to church anymore. And you realize that is humanity, a religion of convenience. So they can sit at home with ice cream in their hand and mama's got on her moo-moo and daddy's got on his camo pajamas and you know, they just this and that and the other instead of coming to the house of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. The Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That scripture goes on through streaming as well. Now if you can't live, you live where there ain't no church, that's perfectly understandable. But people who substitute streaming for coming to the house of God, my, shamey on you. Amen. Hallelujah. That was not for any of you visitors, of course, that was only the local people. Now, he instituted a do-it-yourself type of religion. Do it yourself. What was it? It's like it was in the days of Judges, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Oh my. But the Lord never put his name in your house. Now, was not Israel the chosen of God? They were. Did not God say, you're my beloved, you're my chosen, you're my elected, all that? Yes, sir. But you mean God never put his name in every household where they could just stay home and play tapes? I mean, just stay home and just worship and do whatever they wanted to do. That's not where God put his name. Now watch in verse 29. He set the one in Bethel and the other one in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people. Now watch the next substitution. He breaks the order, the divine order of God of the ministry. So he replaces the Levites, the God called ministry, and he picks the lowest of the people. So here again, he substitutes God called men. Amen. Come on now, preach with me. He substitutes God called men who have the burden of the word of the Lord on their heart, and he brings the lowest of the people. What's he doing? Substitution. 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 Lord, help us, dear God. But you know what happened? The Levites in the northern part of the kingdom, when this man done this, they left. They packed up and left. Amen. God bless their heart. They packed up and left and moved down to the house where God's name was at. Now the religion he invented was comfortable. It was easy. It appeased the flesh. But it was contrary to God's word. Why? God never put his name there. Notice in verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month. Now watch him. Oh, he's so close, yet so far away. You see, God ordained on the 7th month and the 15th day of the 7th month a feast also. But he decided not to go exactly on that day, but go just a little bit away from it. It's not that bad. I mean, you're missing just a month, but move a little at a time. Don't move real rapidly, but move a little at a time and the people won't notice it. So he goes over. He's an 8th day guy. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If this is the millennium, I'm sadly disappointed. Come on, children. So he ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. Now he has become king priest. He is trying to fulfill the type of Melchizedek. King priest, God never allowed any of his kings to ever fulfill such an office. But this man takes so much upon himself, and here goes thousands and thousands of Jews following him right on. Oh my. Like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed Bethel, the priest of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day on the 8th month, even in the month which he devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Why would any of them even went? They had the word. There should not have been one word oriented individual that ever even entered them places. But it got such a hold of Israel. It took years and years to get this stamped out. Why? Did they quit believing God? No. Did they quit worshiping? No. But they was in the wrong gallery. So they're worshiping and praying and praising and magnifying the name of Yahweh in a place that God never put his name. Now, this is what God said. Again, let's read Deuteronomy 16:5. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates. Any of thy gates, plural. Now, if there'd only been one gate, it would have made it much more simple. Why would God allow so many gates? But the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. Listen to this in God's provided place in Los Angeles. God said in the 5th verse here of Deuteronomy 16, thou shalt not worship in any gates that the Lord thy God giveth thee. He give you these things for temptations. Oh my goodness. So God allows all these different gates, all these different things that seem like ways to heaven, God allows them for temptations. To tempt who? You. Because he knows he can try his bride. And she'll stand the test. Oh yes, she's the word. Can't deceive the word. So you mean God would actually allow this way, so-called, and that way, and that way, and this gate, and that gate, and that gate, and that gate, and they'd do good things, and they'd do things that would be beneficial to human, the human race, and they would help people, and they'd do this, and other people would look at them and go in that gate and say, this is it, boy, this is it. And God says, I will allow those gates, but my elect will know I have not put my name in those gates, because they have as the ruler a bunch of men, and instead of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Oh, think of this. He give you these things for temptations. Now you think of it, friends, that if you ever find a principle of God, how that God is unchanging and immutable in his nature, and you can find the repetition of that same thing on down through time. Now, let us go back a little bit prior to this in the days of Noah and see if this principle preexisted before the book of Kings. End time evangelism, Brother M says, the streets come full of water and begin to raise up on the hillsides. People took to the highlands. They tried to get them boats. And so forth. But if the boat wasn't God constructed, that big mighty shaking of the earth at that time just shook it right down under the water. You mean to tell me in the days of Noah, there were other people that had boats besides Noah? So you imagine then this old man said, you better repent. You got to get inside this boat if you're going to the rapture. I mean, if you're going to miss the flood. Other people standing up and said, the old man's crazy. Look here, look at my boat. It looks so much nicer. Mine is a yacht. You'll have your own private bath. We've even got suites. Look at his boat. It's a floating barn. You've got to share it with donkeys and monkeys and chickens and coons and possums and everything else. Why in the world would you want to float through that when you can have your own suite on my yacht? Myself, I absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, I would choose to sleep beside a donkey in God's constructed boat than have my own suite in a denominational boat. You choose what you want, it's up to you. Isn't it amazing? Why did God allow other people to build boats? For temptation. Imagine old Noah's boat, rough hewn timber, rough as it could be, pitched. The inside wasn't sheetrock. It was not really nice carpet and paneling and all kinds of stuff. Pitch had that smell to, you know how pitch smells, tar? Had that smell, pitch on the outside, pitch on the inside. You touch pitch, it can burn you, irritate your skin. I wouldn't sit under a preacher that didn't irritate my hide. I'd be afraid he's a Jeroboam. That's exactly right. Oh my. I want to sit under a man of God that takes that word and lays it out there, that sword coming and going. So if you're all kicked back in a yacht, you might ought to check who your leader is. Oh, here these other people were. Look here, my boat. Look at it. Look at that old rough looking thing. Why, that guy was a farmer. This is the first boat he's ever built. You're going to trust him? A I've been a boat builder all of my life. I build yachts. I build this and that and the other. Look at our suites. Look how nice they are. That guy was a farmer. Had no objective in life, no motive in life, nothing to drive him. And he's crazy. I'm telling you, the man's insane. He said some God spoke to him and said, it's going to rain. And look at him. Ask the man if he's got a trailer for that boat. He ain't even got no way to get it to the lake. He didn't need to take it to the lake. The lake is going to come to him. Oh, hallelujah to God. Notice this, the prophet said, the streets begin to fill up with great big drops of water. The sewers all filled up. When they thought they could pump it out, some overflow come. They got some boats out. But it wasn't God constructed. It sank. Nothing floated but the ark. Why were there other boats there for temptation? How many churches did you pass tonight coming to this one? How many churches do you pass Sunday, whenever, wherever it is you go to church? How many will you pass to go to your church? Some of you people, are you nuts or something? You drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to church. You drive half a day or whatever it is. And people look at you and say, there's all kinds of churches here. But you say, not like my church. Not like my church. It's totally different. Well, what's the difference? And you see why they look at that? Because they have the other boat perspective. They look at that church, that church, that church. They see absolutely no difference. Aren't you glad? You know there is a difference. God has a provided place of worship. It's not in Happy Valley. It's not in your church. It's in Christ Jesus. And Christ is the Word. And that's the only place He accepts our worship. In Christ. Oh my. Brother Bram goes on to say, what a feeling it must have been to Noah when he watched out on the street and seen all the little boats. Whether they were God constructed or not. You see, people think that today. Ah, people think that today. They can construct their own ark. They can make their own salvation. You can't do it. God made salvation for us. And we've got to accept that just a man constructed ark will not stand. Were they prettier? No doubt. Why, you imagine some of them guys. This temper, and they had dark walnut, they had ebony, they had some of the most beautiful exotic woods. And they said, what are you building yours out of? Gopher wood. Gopher wood? You gotta be kidding. Why, you can't even make a pole barn out of gopher wood. It's got so many holes in it, it don't finish nice, it don't take shellac good, it don't take lacquer good. You can't do anything with the stuff. And so that's all I know is the main man gave me the plan. And he told me to use gopher wood. I don't understand why in the world a woman to use gopher wood. I have been a little bit concerned about it because when I send them down to the planer and they come back with big old holes in them here and there and there. They were holes now, but not holes after a while. Because God's going to have that thing so sealed by pitch that no water is going to get in. Oh my. Let me have the gopher wood instead of the black walnut and all the exotic wood. Let me have God's provided way for this day. Again, Brother Bim says, when Noah needed a provided way to the saving of his household, God had him to construct an ark. They might have built mock boats. That's what people think today, but you see, this was a special boat. They probably had boats there, the same as they got now. But this was a special boat. Listen to me now. It was a God-constructed boat. God-constructed. I saw Noah built it. Same thing. I said same thing. Oh, William Branham this, William Branham that's a man's idea. God-constructed message. Oh yeah, same way it was in the days of Noah. Noah done what God said do, and God considered it a God-constructed boat. Jesus Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, people perhaps built boats in them days, whatever they were, God constructed or not, but they didn't float when the time come for it to float. I love the rest of this quote. So I like the message to be God constructed with the scriptures. My friends, we are not following a prophet of God who left the Bible, but we are following a prophet of God who pointed us back to the Bible. Amen. And our message is not theology orchestrated by a man from Kentucky. It is constructed by thus saith the Lord. Hang your soul on it. It will take you out of this world one day. Hallelujah. You can put your confidence in this word. Oh no, he says, I like the message to be God constructed with scriptures. A scriptural message. And right there with it, everything with the scripture. It's thus saith the Lord, and it's got to stand. Listen to this, defectors. Because it isn't my word that's in question, it's His word. So what are these other boats for? Temptation. So you walk up and you hear this old guy. Your grandpa told you that he heard him preach. He's up there hammering and a beating and a carrying on. It's going to rain. It's going to rain, I'm telling you, you're going to perish. Oh, Lord have mercy. He ain't got no pulpit manners. The guy's as crude as he can be. My grandpa said he heard him. My daddy said he heard him. I think I'll go up and hear him this morning, see what he's got to say. Maybe they come up and sit down, wouldn't hardly nobody in the church, and you know, everybody left. Noah and his family. So he come up, my Noah come out that morning and said, glory to God. I was out this morning before daylight, praying. About the breaking of the sun, I heard the birds start singing. Crickets was a-chirping. Everything was so beautiful, and they looked at one another and said, wow, he's got something new to say. Man, he ain't saying the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. He's got something new to say. And Noah said, I got to thinking, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It won't be too much longer than birds is going to stop saying, if you want to get saved, you better get in my boat. How arrogant. How arrogant for a man to stand up and say he was not arrogant. He was telling the truth. If you want to go in a rapture, my friend, you better get in the message of Eliezer, which leads the bride to Isaac. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of other gates that said we'll go in a rapture too. But time will tell who's got the God-constructed boat. Watch this in the Pergamene church age. You see, if you take away the word of God and moving of the Spirit as a means of worship, they that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth, then you'll have to give the people another form of worship as a substitute. And substitution spells Balaamism. Numbers 23:1, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram, speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the anointed Messiah. How did this false prophet know the Lord Jesus was coming? Got your attention then, didn't it? And Balaam said unto Balak, stand up by the burnt offering and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went on to a high place. And you know the story. God met Balaam. Boy, he started blessing Israel 4 ways from Sunday. And Balak got mad as a hornet. He said, man, I didn't call you up here to bless my enemies. He said, I told you I can't send them what the Lord said. His prophecy was all right. But it was the doctrine of Balaam that got Israel in trouble. Now, substitution means Balaamism. So, substituting listening to a tape for you thinking that takes care of your prayer life. Come on, children. Well, the pastor prays for me. He can't. I mean, he can pray for you. God help him. But you've got to do your own prayer. You got to have your own walk with God. Come on now. Notice this again. In fact, that Balaam knew the proper approach to God and could bring forth a revelation from the Lord by means of a special endowment of power. He was still, for all that, a bishop in the false group. For what did he do now in order to win favor with Balak? He formulated a plan wherein God would be forced to deal with Israel in death. Now in prophecy, every time he'd stand up and pray, thus saith the Lord, Israel is this, 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 this. And Balak said, it's because of the way you're looking at him. Come over here, let's come to the other side of them. Let's look over here and see if we can find some kind of faults in them. So he brought him over at this side and he got to looking at him real good. Got to really putting that evil eye on him. Got to looking at him and said, thus saith the Lord, let my last days be like theirs. He said, you're still looking at them. Come over here and see their back parts. They've got all kinds of problems. They got all kinds of shortcomings. So he brought him from a different angle. And he said, all right, now prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. God has said, I will bless them. And there shall arise a star out of Jacob. He prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Every time he'd open his mouth, it was good. But then he began to think, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I can talk them into doing something that's contrary to this word, God himself will punish them. I won't even have to. So he devised a plan. Diabolical, cunning, deceitful. Can I go on? He formulated a plan wherein God would be forced. Where did he get this idea? He got it way back years and years before. It come from the Garden of Eden. When the serpent knew he could not snatch the kingdom out of Adam's hand. But if he could talk Adam into doing something wrong, then God would take it away from him. Oh my. Just as Satan knew he could beguile Eve and cause her to fall in fleshly sin, thus causing God, to pass his pronounced sentence of death against sin. So Balaam knew. Where was his inspiration coming from then? That old serpent. Where's a lot of this stuff come from in the last days? That old serpent. If he could get Israel to sin, God would have to deal with him in death. Can you imagine? He knows the law of God well enough to know that if he can't make you do something, if he can't force you to do it, if he can coax you into doing something wrong, then God will be forced to give you a penalty. And he says, man, that's exactly what I wanted anyway. That's what I wanted to be. Talk them into disobedience and God himself will punish them. Lord, children, what kind of enemy are we dealing with? So he planned a way to get them to come over and join in sin. He sent out invitations to come to the feast of Baal Peor. Come over and worship with us. Ah. Now they're going to shed their light. Now they're going to be a witness, they think. I believe in all that too. But buddy, we sure got to watch what we're doing. Now Israel no doubt had seen the face of the Egyptians, so they did not feel it was too wrong to go and just look on and perhaps eat with the people. What is wrong with fellowship anyway? Nothing if you got the right fellow on the ship. But the wrong fellow on the ship can be deadly. I'll tell you one thing. I was down in Black Lake years ago fishing with Brother Daniel Williams and them. And we was men going along through there and them big old trees hanging down through there. Kind of a gloomy looking place anyway. And you know what? We was sitting there fishing and just kind of paddling along. All of a sudden, somebody else joined our ship. A water moccasin fell out of a tree. Well, it didn't take long for us to realize we didn't want no fellowship from a water moccasin. He might want to bite one of us, so we throw him overboard. I'll tell you one thing. Many of you, most of you, would do exactly the same thing. But how many spiritual water moccasins do you allow in your fellowship boat? And you allow them to come on in and they poison your mind, go to robbing your venture. Come on, children, you know it's your truth. I would to God we would be spiritually sensitive enough to know when them devils fall into our boat, say, get out of here. You get out of here. This boat is dedicated to the Lord. I'm on a fellowship with Holy Ghost saints, not corruption. My, what is wrong with fellowship anyway? We're supposed to love them, aren't we? Or how can we win them? Being friendly never hurt anyone. Or so they thought. But when those sexy Moabitish women began to dance and undress while they whirled around doing the rock and roll and twist, the lust rose in the Israelites and they were drawn into adultery. And God in wrath slew 42,000. Balaam could have never brought this to pass. But he talked them into compromising. Come on. Just fellowship. Just fellowship. Well, you're getting quiet on me now. Lord have mercy. Notice this, he says, and that is what Constantine and his successors did at Nicaea, and after Nicaea. The Holy Father's got his trip planned here for next week. Who knows what the ecumenical move's got up their sleeve. And our president and Congress and everybody else. But you know what? My hope ain't in the Pope coming. It's in Jesus coming. No doubt he's going to do whatever he's supposed to do. And you know, we got a lot of debt and they got a lot of money. Who knows? They may sign the papers. I don't know what they're going to do. But I'm so glad my God has it all in control. I'm so glad that my soul ain't hanging tonight on the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the Independents or Donald Trump or nobody else. I ain't excited about Donald Trump. I'm excited about the trumpet. The trumpet. That's what I'm hallelujah. That's what I'm waiting to hear, my brother, sister. Donald Trump ain't nothing but another politician. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That's the Trump I'm waiting for. Glory. Hallelujah. Don't you see why all this is going on to pull people away off their foundation? They invited the people of God to the convention. When the church sat down to eat and rose up to play, partaking of church form, ceremonies, pagan feast named after Christian rites, she was trapped. She had committed fornication. And listen to these last four words. And God walked out. And he leaves us with our form, our ritual, our routine. And most of the people in this shape are so spiritually lack of discernment in their life, they hardly have any discernment at all. They don't even know when God does leave. Because they're already so into the routine and the ritual. And a routine is not always low and slow. Sometimes this is routine. That can be just as much ritual as the people who never even clap their hands. Oh my. So Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. Do you know that physical fornication is the very same spirit that lies in organized religion? I said the spirit of fornication is the spirit of organization. And then some of the people around this message want to tell us that the people in the organizational system have the same Holy Ghost we have. Same new birth, same baptismal Holy Ghost, and they will go on the rapture without hearing this message? What are you, a nut? God worked on this prophet all these years, and God sent a prophet to the earth with a message to turn our hearts back to the original faith, and then going to let folks go on a rapture without. How in the world are they going to get rapture in faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words. You got to have a rapture message to produce a rapturing faith. A political message produces a political church. Come on, children. A rapturing message produces a rapturing church. Glory. You see, acceptable worship. Let me give just a few minutes on something. Acceptable worship must take its character from Almighty God. Acceptable worship must take its character from the nature of God himself. Now in the Old Testament, you agree with me, I'm sure, that there was one provided place that God put his name. You agree with that? Now when we come to the New Testament, God's name, Lamb, became a man. Now God is going to transfer His name from already the temple, you know, had been destroyed and built and rebuilt again. It took 46 years to build it. Now the temple become a human being on the earth. God's name, Lamb, became a man. Now, in order for us to worship today, of course, aren't you glad we don't have to go to Jerusalem or Dan or Beersheba or somewhere like that? Aren't you glad we don't have to all go to Tucson 3 or 4 times a year, over to Phoenix or somewhere? But we still have to go somewhere in order to be accepted. Right. Watch in Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son, speaking about Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me they were his people before they were ever saved? He didn't say they'll save him and they'll become his people, but he said he shall save his people. He shall save his people from their sins. You understand why you needed to be saved? You needed to be saved from yourself. You needed to be saved from that sinful nature. You did not become a son or a daughter. Hallelujah. After you received salvation, you were already in his thinking a child of God. He come to save his people. Now we know Jesus came in the Father's name. And the Father's name wasn't Father. Right? St. John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. St. John 10:25, Jesus answered, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But did Jesus, is there any scripture, will you ever recall that Jesus went over and laid hands on somebody and said, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost? Or did Jesus ever say, in the name of Jehovah? In the name of Yahweh. But yet he said he come in his Father's name. St. John 12:28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. So when the voice of God speaks, it can be a thunder and an angel speaking. St. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Amen. And they have kept thy word. Now here he says he's manifested the Father's name. So what was the name? I manifest my Father's name. Reagan. My daddy was Donald Lee Reagan. I'm Donald Lee Reagan Jr. I come in my Father's name. But I don't have to go around saying, in the name of Don Reagan, in the name of Don Reagan, in the name of Don Reagan. I'm in the name of Don Reagan. Praise the Lord. Now in there, I am a part of his family because Don Reagan's genes are in me. Now I might feel sorry for a bunch of little younguns and try to adopt them and give them the name of Reagan, but you do a DNA test on them little adopted younguns and you're not going to find the genes of Don Reagan because they did not come from the gene pool of Don Reagan. It's the same thing that we've tried to do through religion, and we've tried to adopt them this bunch and that bunch and that bunch and give them the Father's name and this, now and the other, but you do a spiritual DNA test on them and you don't find the genes of God. Oh, but if they're born of the Spirit of God and you do a spiritual DNA test, you find their name written right here in the book of life. They'll stand with that word if mama won't go. They'll stand with that word if daddy don't go. Why? God's genes is in them. Glory to hallelujah. St. John 17:12, while I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name. But how? He never said it. Jesus says, I'm going away. And you're going to find out where I'm going. And Philip says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He said, well, the Father. He said, well, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been with you so long? What was it? The Father's name revealed through sonship. Come on, children. It's not enough for us to even believe in Malachi 4 that God sent a prophet. We've got to manifest this word. The greatest thing that we can do, the compliment that we can give to Brother Branham, is not just quoting what he said, but being what he said. And living by our life, a divine nature that God himself placed in us. And we become into that place of worship. Oh, notice this. Brother Branham said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. He is God's name of redemption. He's got one name of redemption that belongs to the human race, and that's the name of Jesus. That's where he chose to put it, because you can't even worship until you come first into the place of worship. So there's no other name given whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. So does that mean that everybody that says, Jesus, 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 uh-oh, I feel a quiet time coming now. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So you'll agree God has one name of redemption in the New Testament, the name of Jesus. Again, God appears in seven compound redemptive names. Ministers know that. His first redemptive name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. His second name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals thee. He has the shield, the buckler. In seven different compound redemptive names, God appeared to the human race. And all of those redemptive names was brought into Christ Jesus through that one eternal name that all heavens and earth is named after, that one name. But is the name of Jesus like a magical potion that you could just repeat it over and over again, like cantations of witchcraft, and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus? It'd be like magical words. Let's ask some old boys in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now hold on to your seat, and I don't want to offend you, but when I cast out devils, I don't cast out devils through the Jesus that Paul preached in a historical way. Come on. I cast out devils through the Jesus I still preach today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not just using that name. I am in that name. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Now this is the kind of testimony I want. Jesus I know, Paul I know, Brother Branham I know, Donnie I know. I want to have a good rapport among my brethren. I want the message folks to respect me and all that sort of thing. But if I can have this testimony down in hell, I will feel like I have been a success in life. Because I believe I was born to torment hell. I believe I was ordained of God to cast out devils, heal the sick, speak the word of life, and make nervous devils nervous. Come on, children, what are you born for? You're not born to be defeated. You're not born to be down and depressed and weary. You're born to live a victorious, overcoming life. Let's add your name to that list. Terry, I know. Tim, I know. You sisters, I know. That's the kind of testimony we want. Hallelujah to God. Oh, my. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know.
But who are ye? Now, no doubt they knew their human names. But their point is, who are you? Glory. You imagine them devils in this day were so scared of the anointing of the prophet of God and the gift. Somebody with a cancer would walk up on the platform. They'd break into the fourth dimension. He would say, I see you going to a doctor, heavy set man, got on glasses. You imagine Brother Bram is transported into the realm of vision. And he sees the doctor's taking out the chart. He's just right there like watching a video of it. He's right there. And this cancer devil on this individual said, good Lord. So he'd go to looking all over the building. Oh, there's a buddy. There's a cancer buddy. There's another buddy. There's another buddy. And then he'd project a streak, a dark streak, from this woman over to that nurse and say, help me. Hey. It's him. It's Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. Help me. And then he'd see another buddy over. Hey, help me. So there'd be streaks running all over the building. Tattletale. You see, if that one devil had kept his mouth shut, them others might have hid. But once he was, you know why? He was scared. Shows devils have got more sense than some human beings of God. They talk against this prophet and blast him and call him a liar and a devil. The devil's got more sense than you got. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. Amen. And there they was. I said, all right, in the name of Jesus, you thought you'd hide from me, didn't you, Satan? What happened? All of them folks just got delivered. Why? That devil was so scared. Remember whenever that maniac come up and he tells in Charlotte in 1956, and he said that maniac come up and spit in his face. I love what Brother Tim said about that up in Virginia. He said the devil was trying to get on Brother Branham's flesh to get Brother Branham to handle this battle by flesh. Oh, how many times have we failed because we tried to fight our battles with this? You can't fight him with this, and you can't fight him with this either. Some of you think you're fighting your battles on Facebook. Well, I'll throw this at that and just forget about it. You ain't going to straighten them out no way. Conquer your battles down here, not with these. Get down on your knees. That's where your strength comes from and your power, not by trying to throw things at people. You imagine that man walks up. That'd be hard for any of us to take, much less a prize fighter. You just reach up and wipe it off. The Spirit of God helped that little man. And he said, because you've challenged the Holy Ghost, you'll fall across my feet. I'll show you whose feet I'll fall across. In the name of Jesus Christ. And he fell right across his feet. About that time, Brother Branham said, wheelchairs started emptying out. The lame started walking. The cripple started jumping up. Glory to God. Why? He was in God's provided place of worship. You remember what he said about that? He said the chief of that tribe of demons. The chief of that tribe of demons had made a challenge to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost accepted the challenge. The police came and he said, is that man healed? He said, no, but would you roll him off my feet? Can you imagine the man closest to the gift of God got nothing? And yet hundreds of people received. You love him, children. Don't you want to be accepted? Don't you want to be accepted in God's provided place? Let me close with this scripture. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name,
There am I in the midst of them. This Greek phrase means under my authority for the purpose of taking anything connected with the advancement of my kingdom. Literally, where two or three are gathered together into my name. Now, for years, we have quoted this. I've done it, my goodness, in Pentecost, you know, you have a little crowd. Well, if there's two or three gathered together, he's here in the midst of us. But actually, Jesus ain't saying as far as crowd-wise, but he's looking at where they're gathered at. They're actually gathered into his name. God's place of worship. Literally, into my name. Whether two or three are gathered together into my name. They're gathered into my name. What for? To love him. To show his preeminence that they belong to him. If they are gathered, if two or three were gathered in his name, what about hundreds of people? And how many of them, only God knows, of course, how many are gathered into his name tonight? What could the Lord Jesus do among us? If we are actually gathered into his name. Let's stand. Let me jump a little bit on in the morning. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. There's a couple of words that are used in the New Testament for the word baptized. Baptizo, baptiste, baptiste. This one here, baptized, is actually baptizo. To cleanse by dipping or submerging. To wash, to make clean with water. I about had a runaway day and I found this. Not to be confused with babto. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 B.C. It is a recipe for making pickles. Now, all right, all you cucumbers, get ready. And it is helpful because it uses both words. Now, you see, when you look at Mark 16, baptizing them, Matthew 28, baptizing, but people will try to take the English word and make it the same thing. It's not the same word at all. You see, 1 Corinthians 12, when we are baptized, it's a different word than water baptism. Look at the meaning of this word. It is a recipe for making pickles. It is helpful because it uses both words. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first dipped. Babto, into boiling water, then baptized, baptizo, in vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution, but the first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable, produces a permanent change. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah! Praise the Lord! How many cucumbers have we baptized in this baptistry? And they went down a dry cucumber and come up a wet cucumber, but they never become a pickle. That's what's wrong with a lot of folks around the message. There's a cucumber here and a cucumber there. Here a cucumber and there a cucumber. Everywhere a cucumber. But God ain't looking for cucumbers. God wants pickles. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. What is it that changes that cucumber? It's what it's baptized into. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you go down an earthly cucumber, but you come back up a new creature in Christ Jesus. The first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. When used in the New Testament, this word more often refers to our union and identification with Christ than to our water baptism. There must be a union, a real change, like the vegetable. to the pickle. Now, I assure you, there's all flavors of pickles. Some sweet, some sour. Hallelujah. Children, what is it when you're baptized into God's provided place of worship? You have the everlasting fingerprints of the Creator on your life. That cucumber could wish and wish and wish and wish and never become a pickle. Its life will be prolonged by being dipped into that. As a cucumber, when it's removed from the vine by freezing and certain climate control, they'll be able to keep it fresh for a while. But after a while, it's going to spoil. But if it can ever make it to the baptismal pool, amen, it will change it forever. And it can set on the shelf life because you put it inside of a jar and sealed. Aren't you pickles glad you're sealed to the day of your redemption? Amen. Hallelujah. We have a permanent change. This change is leading us to the body change. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, you'd take these simple illustrations and simple words. May it speak to every heart, Lord. Lord Jesus, we want to be in that provided place of worship. Like never before, we see all kinds of gates. Used to years ago, before the social era come in, it was a church physically. But now, it's websites, it's all kinds of other things. And people gather on them websites just like we gather in church. They'll gather there and they'll run the prophet down, run the message down. They're actually attending church in a spiritual sense. They're gathering there, getting their anointing, getting ideas from one another, getting charged to go out and spew out their venom and their poison. Lord, many of them were baptized in water. They took on your name. But they come out a wet cucumber. They never went into the vinegar, the mixture of the spices, hallelujah, by which they were immersed and left until they were transformed. The texture, the color, the taste, everything about that cucumber, glory to God, it's different. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you have let us be baptized, not only just by water, but spiritually, we have been baptized into the vat of Christ. And we have put on Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Then, Lord, all these doors don't tempt us. All these boats that's being built up. All these beautiful yachts and the much easier way. And why, you don't have to do this and don't have to do that. And you can drink 3 beers a day or 5. Just don't sin too much. And you can do this and don't do that and do a little something else and basically do whatever you want to do. God don't even care no more. But Lord, we're so grateful that we're inside this ark. And we believe this ark that you allowed your prophet to build is scriptural constructed. Amen. We thank you for it, Lord. After a while, when it all starts moving together, we've seen it move so rapidly in the last few years. Soon it'll come the day to where you'll look down upon this earth and this dimension and say, my bride can no longer live in this world. You'll release those who've gone beyond the curtain of time. Our theophanies will be released as well. And we will take the body to meet the theophany. Those, Lord, that have already died and entered into the theophany, they'll come to pick up the redeemed body. And the prophet said, think of it. Missing people. They can't find you anymore. You're getting together with the rest of the group and you come up missing on the earth. Praise God. One day the devil will go to looking for all these pickles and he can't find them. But we're here, but we're missing on the earth. Glory. Because that baptism so affected our soul. all that good juice of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It just poured out all over our body, and our body was transformed too. Glory. Changed from a mortal to immortal in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Lord, if there's one or many here tonight, or some that'll stream this service or archive it, Lord God, may your presence go down to their living room, their car. Lord, help them. If they're just a cucumber and they're sitting around the message and they've been that way for so many years, I hope I don't sound sacrilegious, Lord. Help them to see they've got to be so changed to be baptized into God's provided place of worship. Granted, I pray, Father. With every head bowed, I wonder if there'd be anybody in the visible audience tonight. You say, I love the Lord and I love the message, but honestly, I don't think I've been changed from a cucumber to a pickle that way. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand to the Lord. God bless you. Nobody's going to pull on you, make fun of you, embarrass you, nothing like that. It's just that simple, friends, that we're dipped into Christ. As many of us as put on Christ have been dipped into Christ, is the Greek word, dipped into Christ. And we got the life-changing dip. It changed our nature, our texture, everything about us. Lord, you saw the hands that were uplifted. I pray, Lord God, may this be the night that, Lord Jesus, they'll not come for a water baptism, but may they step over in the life-changing vat, the vinegar, if I can call it that way, of the Holy Ghost. Lord, may they move over right into it, and their nature will be changed. They might have walked in here a wet cucumber, but let them walk out of here tonight, Lord God, a saturated, born again son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. Oh, they still have problems. They'll still have issues. But a new king's moved on the throne of their heart. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Can we just worship him a little bit now before we go? Brother Nathan, some of him's leaving after service here in a little bit, and we'll drive most of the night so we can be back home for church tomorrow in Indiana. Maybe some of the rest of you going back home. We'll try not to detain you, but I hate to just leave this gallery of worship and let's not give a little bit of love and worship and adoration to our Lord. Amen. Let's just love him a little bit now. Whatever your needs are. Maybe you're doing pretty good tonight. Really, you don't have that many needs or requests. And you'd like to take these next few minutes, not for asking for anything, but just to give back to Jesus. Just to give thanks and praise. Maybe you got a wife sending her by, yet saved. You got a husband, a mom and dad. Children serve the Lord. Oh, you got so much to thank him for. A good church to go to, a good pastor. So many blessings in your life. You want to just take a little time, just make love to him, adore him, worship him. Praise God. We can't worship now till we get into that place of worship. I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into this vat of the Spirit of God, you are in God's provided place of worship. God's chosen place of worship. God's only place of worship. Amen. There you can worship and adore and magnify and bless his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing some voice, hey. Let's just worship him together now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I give myself away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus.
I give myself away. So
oh, yes.
You can use me,
Lord.
Give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I give myself away so you
yes, Lord
can
Jesus.
Use me. I give myself away.
Thank you, Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am.
Yes, Lord.
Here I stand. Lord, my life is in.
It's in.
Myself to you, Lord. I set my life. myself. I give myself to you. I give myself away. Give myself to you. Lord, my life is not my own. To you, my life belongs. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you, I belong. I give myself. Give myself to you. Give myself away. Give myself away.
So you,
Lord,
can use me.
Give myself away.
Give myself away.
My God is awesome. He is awesome. 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 My God is awesome.
He's awesome.
Yes, He is awesome.
He is awesome.
So awesome. He's awesome.
Awesome.
He is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. So awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
My God
is awesome. My God is awesome. He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley, and hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
My God is awesome.
So awesome.
My God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Awesome.
My God,
yes, you are awesome.
My God,
yes, you are awesome.
If you can't help me, don't stop me. Sing it. I'm going. Hallelujah.
If you can't
Hallelujah.
Help me, don't stop me. If you can't help me, please don't stop me.
Move out of my way.
Don't try to block me. I got a race to run.
Oh, yes.
And I'm running by faith.
I see it all
this way. You can't help me. Please don't stop me. Move on out of my way. Don't try to block me. I've got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. At the finishing line, I see God's face. Jesus a long time, running both night and day. I don't have time for idle talk. It might cause me to lose this race.
Right.
If you can't help me,
please don't stop me. Move out of my way.
Don't try to block me.
Me.
Got a race to run.
Oh,
I'm running by faith at the finishing line.
See God's
faith. If you can't help me, you ain't gonna stop me. Move on out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I see God's faith.
Some of you all may think we act like we're kind of drunk. Well, we are. So what you drinking? Pickle juice. It's just pickle juice. Glory! Hallelujah!
It's that new wine that changes us.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together. You bunch of drunk pickles will let you go. Father, it's been so good to be in your house. It's so good to be gathered together with our brothers and sisters. We pray, Lord, that for those traveling home tonight, going their ways, you'd be with them and watch over them, Lord. For those of us that will be here tomorrow, we look for another gathering. Hallelujah. Baptism in the vat that'll keep changing us. Lord, we thank you for your word. May you help us, Lord, that we can be pleasing to you in every aspect of our life. Go with your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Turn around and shake hands with a pickle and say, God bless you, brother, sister Pickle. You probably ain't never been rejoiced to be called a pickle, have you? You can rejoice tonight and say, I'm a pickle by God's grace. The saying, I'm in a pickle, will mean a whole different thing to you after tonight. Sing it.
We shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed. Changed from this mortal to immortality. In the twinkling of an eye. I said that we shall be changed. We shall be changed from
is foretold to immortality. Oh, in a twinkling of an eye.
I send the rod, she's gonna be changed.
We shall be changed.
Oh, the rod is gonna be changed.
We shall be changed.
She'll be changed from this mortal to immortality.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Other in a twinkling, oh, I said that we shall be changed.
We shall be changed.
Oh, we shall be changed. I'll be changed. Oh, in a twinkling. From this mortal to immortality, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, I said that we shall be changed. Oh, we shall be changed.
We shall be changed.
Oh, changed from this mortal to immortality, oh, in a twinkling of an eye.
Well, he's God in the Father, he's God in the Son, he's God in the Holy Ghost, he's God all three and four. I said God is God, well, God don't never change. I said God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God if you love him, he's God if you don't. He's God if you serve him. He's still God if you want. I say God is God. If God don't never change, I say God is God. And Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I say God. Oh! God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God of days of Luther, he's God of Leslie too. He's God here in the end time, he's the God of me and you. Oh. I said that God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God of the first, he's God of the last, he's God of my future, he's the God of my past. I say God, he's God, and God don't ever change. I say God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's the God of the I Am, he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of the royal sea, he's the God of you and me. I say God is God, God don't never change. I say God, he's God, and Jesus is his God. Amen. Way up in Sabino Canyon, where down came a sword. He came off that mountain speaking, thus saith the Lord. I said, God is God. God don't never change. I said, God is God. And Jesus is his name. Well, he's God of the Father. He's God of the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. He's God all three in one. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Take the name of the Lord Jesus with you. I said that God is God, and Jesus is his name. Hallelujah! I said that God is God. God don't ever change. I said God is God.